Welcome to Fit Food Junkies, Addicted to Health. My name is Emily E, and I'm a certified group fitness instructor and personal trainer. We will not only talk about fitness, nutrition, and business, but also explore how to build a strong mindset, have ultimate motivation, and how to reach your breakthrough in life. Let's start on our health and fitness journey together.
Michelle Madrigal is a former actress from the Philippines, single mom, Hyrox athlete, social media creator, and local realtor in Austin, Texas. She also so happens to be such an incredible friend of mine. She always talks about becoming the best version of you. Today, we're going to talk all about postpartum secret tips and her journey of depression. We're also going to talk about how she went from the Philippines to the US and how she developed this insane and incredible mindset for life. We will also dive into not only her mindset, but that around motherhood, marriage, becoming a single parent, and her discovering her inner freedom. Michelle, welcome to Fit Food Junkies podcast.
Hi.
Thank
you so much. My love. Oh my God.
I honestly feel so honored to be your friend. I feel like you're a sister in my life. I really do mean that. But I feel like we just celebrated your birthday a couple weeks ago. And I think it's crazy that we kind of had this moment where like we were all talking about you at dinner and you were kind of like, I feel like I'm not where I want to be, or I feel like this. And then for a second, we're like, Michelle, have you not seen everything you've done in this life and all that you've accomplished? And I think that was really crazy because a lot of us are so hard on ourselves. And I was like, can I just make a list of you, for you, of everything you've done and how proud I am of you and how much you inspire me? So I just want to say that for a moment.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you. I mean, yes, like I go through phases where I kind of like question myself, but then at the end of the day, again, practicing gratitude, right? Like we tend to focus on like the negative things or things that we don't have right now, the things that we want, instead of actually focusing on the good things that we've accomplished. So it's a day-to-day battle for me, but I'm so glad and I'm so happy that I have you girls, because at the end of the day, it was such a good reminder that, you know what, like I'm so hard on myself, but all these women around me actually look up to me and I inspire them so much. So I kind of like, when I got home after that night, the next day I woke up like very grateful and I was like, what was I doing? Like, what was I thinking? Like, saying all these negative things. And here I am surrounded by beautiful, amazing women, like community. And I'm just constantly like complaining of the things that I don't have. So that kind of like, you know, made me rethink my thinking and whatever.
Yeah, when I heard her saying that, I was like, it puts it everything into perspective. Like, if I ever feel like that, I'm like, if Michelle feels like that, oh my gosh.
I feel like we could also connect. I feel like most women kind of go through that different phase. And when you kind of hear it from another woman's perspective, you're like, wait, I feel the same way. And it builds that connection. Mm-hmm. But it also uplifts you. And you're like, if she's feeling that way, maybe I shouldn't feel this way. And it kind of like just changes your way of thinking. So.
Well, before we get deep and I hear all about your mindset and just kind of like your inner ways of life and thinking, I want to take a quick little shot with you. Okay. So
this
is called Magic Mind. And Magic Mind, it says do more, stress less. I've been taking these every day. Michelle, you know I'm a squirrel.
Yes.
I'm a little squirrel. It's really hard for me to focus. And I've been taking these every day. It's really cool because it has matcha to boost your energy. You love matcha. Adaptogens help you stress less. Nootropics keeps you focused. And it has immunity, vitamin C, D, and echinacea. And they are so good. So I just want to take a little shot with you. And you're supposed to just shake it, let it breathe, and drink. And they're very tasty. Normally, these shots are not good, but like it's made me focus and feel really good. So
it smells good.
Cheers
to our wonderful friendship.
Cheers to our friendship and this podcast episode. Cheers, baby. Thoughts?
Wow.
Do you like it?
That is really good.
Isn't it good? Normally, you know when you take a shot and you're like, it almost looks like you took a tequila shot because the face, you're like, woo!
Yeah.
But this one's really good, isn't it?
Can y'all send me some? I'm just kidding. Calling. Right? I really love that.
I know. And they're all like really natural, good ingredients. And yeah, it's my little shot for the mornings. Okay.
All right, Magic Mind, sending you my address. Just letting you know.
We touched up upon kind of like the way that you feel and the difference that people see you. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a big difference in the way that you feel about yourself and the way that people see you?
Oh my gosh. Sometimes I feel like, because when people meet me and then they see my following, it's like, oh, you're like all this and that. But I still have my insecurities, you know? And this is why it's so important to like work on yourself on a day-to-day basis. This is why I brain dump, I journal, because I feel like growing up, coming from, I think it was stemming from my background. Like, and a lot of people didn't know that, you know, I was born and raised in the Philippines. I moved here in 2016. So, you know, like obviously English was not my first language. There were a lot of insecurities coming here. And I feel like sometimes people just see your number, like the followings that you have. But on top of that, it's like, well, I have all these insecurities based from like my acting, because I used to be compared to like other celebrities back home. So I feel like I've grown so much from separating myself from that industry. But yes, I feel like one thing I would say, though, it's like I'm very... A lot of people say, oh, you're so authentic and genuine. And I would always hold true to that. Like, I feel like whatever is Michelle on cam or like on social media, it is like the real me. Like when you meet me in person, I'm just very like pure-hearted, like genuine, authentic person. And this is also why like I keep my circle like really small, because I don't necessarily like small talks and stuff. Like it's cool to network, but like keep my circle really, really small, because I kind of like set my boundaries as well. Like I could see if someone is like inauthentic, and I don't want to like surround myself with that type of people.
Yeah.
If I were to say that.
That's really interesting about the smaller circle, because I think a lot of times people focus on quantity but not quality. And it is a beautiful thing. And that's something that I've learned the hard way too. It's like, you know, oh, you have a lot of friends, you have this. And it's like, okay, but how many of those people are actually your real friends, like real quality friends that you can have deep conversations with, which is really special and powerful. So I love that. You also said this at your birthday dinner, and I felt that power.
Oh, I really did.
So you came from the Philippines. How old were you when you came to the United States?
Let's talk about my age, because I look like a teenager. But I moved here when I was 27, so 7 years ago. Okay. So yes, I am 35 years old.
35 going on 18.
Yeah, so I moved here in 2016. I had a year contract. I was working for this hotel company because I had just graduated from my culinary degree, and I wanted to kind of experience life away from home. So you mentioned I was an actress, right? Being an actress for, and that was my bread and butter. So it was like a different transition for me, like from acting for 13 years. That's all I've ever known. I never went to college. And I moved here at 27, 28 years old. And then I was going to come back home. And then that's when I met my ex-partner here.
Yeah. And what brought you to Austin?
To train for my culinary degree. I wanted to, so I was working as a chef at one of the hotels here in Austin. I had a year contract. And then when I decided I was going to come back to the Philippines to continue acting and my life back home, we found out we were pregnant. So it was a big life change and transition to fully decide to give up every single thing that I've built for myself back home to come here to start a family.
What's crazy is you've told me before that in the Philippines, you really started your life very young. Like you were on your own supporting yourself at a very young age.
Yes.
So can you take me through that experience?
All right. Here I am, 13, 14 years old, teenager. I started doing commercials, and then I knew, honestly, I was such a big like dreamer, like, and my parents know this. When I was like probably Anika's age, my daughter, like 6 to 8 years old, I would always act in front of the mirror. Like if I see a TV, like whether it be like local TV show, I would always act and copy what they're doing in front of the mirror, because I was like, I want to be an actress. I was like, there was just this calling. And when I started doing commercials, I was like, this is my chance. And they had this reality show, reality acting show, kind of like American Idol, but for acting. Mm-hmm. So you had to do, you know, you have to be a well-rounded performer. I had to like dance, sing. I was like, I'm not the best singer, but hey, we'll do this and then act, right? So I auditioned and then I got the part, made it to top 10. And then it started from there. But yeah, this is why I didn't go to college, because I started working at such a young age and it felt like I was living the dream. I was, and I made it happen, and I've lived it for like 13 years. I moved out of my mom's place at 16 years old. So, I mean, I'm very open about it. Like, my mom and I never had like a very good relationship growing up. We're like super close now, but we've mended everything. But before, it was always like a push and pull, like, oh, you know, we just didn't have a good relationship. And I went through like a rebellious phase, I would say, but I was motivated. I used that to like achieve my dreams. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I was like, I'm gonna leave this house. I'm never coming back until like I'm successful with this, you know, the route that I'm taking. Like, I didn't want to fail, because in the back of my head, you know, like my ego at the time, but I was also young. I was like, what was I thinking? Like, imagine being a 15, 16 year old. I'm gonna make it on my own. Like, who does that, right? I was like very crazy, but I was very driven to like prove myself to my mom that I'm gonna make it happen for me. And I think that's why I was so successful in it, because I would do everything. Like, I would say yes to work every day. Like, even though I would like party here and there, like I would just say yes to work because I wanted to make money, and I never want to ask my mom or my dad for money again. So I think that was like a very good motivator for me when I was younger.
What do you think instilled that in you? Because you're like, it's almost like the rebellious slash, it's rebellious phase, but also a phase that you're like wanting to prove something to you and to other people.
That's always been a thing. So I didn't grow up in a rich family. We weren't wealthy or anything. And I realized when I became a mom that I got that drive from my mom, because my mom was the breadwinner of our family. She was a badass mom. But at the time I couldn't understand it, because we would always fight, but she made it happen for us. Like, she had three kids and she was a workaholic, but she would always make sure that we had food on the table. We will go to a private school. So she made it happen for us. And I think that grit and strength, I totally got it from my mom. Mm-hmm. And that ego inside me was like, I'm going to prove you wrong, because I just didn't want to fail, because I feel like growing up, I kept hearing it like, oh, you're such a failure, because I've always wanted to take a different route. I wasn't like, my sister was the straight A, she followed the rules, and I was the opposite. Mm. So I think in the back of my head, subconsciously, it was just like, no, I'm going to prove you wrong. So I've always had that. Mm. And I guess, you know, for some people, it could have ended in a negative way, but I feel like on my end, I used it as fuel to keep pushing and living the dream that I wanted for my life.
That's crazy that you went through that at such a young age. Fast forward, you moved to the Philippines for more opportunities. You said you went to culinary school, yeah. Met your ex-partner here. How was that transition for you, and how did your mindset change coming into the United States?
Oh my gosh. I've always been a risk taker. And I feel like I kind of underestimated that thought of putting my life and moving elsewhere. Like, we're not just talking about like, oh, you're moving to a different state. We're talking about from Asia to America, where I had no friends, I had no family, I didn't know anybody. And coming here with a child was a lot. So that's why I feel like it took me a while. Like, it sounds long, but it took me 3 years to like adjust myself, because to fully adjust. And now I've been here for like 7 years. It's like my second home now, you know. Mm-hmm. But 4 years ago, I wanted to go home. I was like, I would tell Anika's father, I was like, I just want to go home. I want to go back to the Philippines, mm-hmm. you know. It was an option because obviously his work is here at the time and his future is here. But I almost wanted to quit and give up. But I was like, no, but this is what I wanted. I just got to go through that hardship and, you know, find the right people, find the right friends, the right community. So it took some time because I was also a full-time stay-at-home mom for like 3 years. So imagine being pregnant in a new city, not having any friends. The only thing I had was my social media. So that's why I was always like posting, connecting, and I feel like that's how I was able to kind of grow my page organically as well, because I was sharing a lot, working out as a 6-month pregnant mom, I was cooking before, and the quality of my videos were like, it didn't look good at the time. But I was just like bored at home because I'm like, I have all these free time now. So I feel like it goes through phases. At the time, you know, I was just very fortunate that my ex-spouse was, you know, supportive of that. But still, it was different to like not have. I gave birth without my mom and my sisters here. I had his family with, you know, I love them to death. We're still in communication up to this day. We have a very good relationship. But it's, as a woman, it's kind of hard to, you know, like when you don't have your family.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. And it's almost like when you were in the Philippines, you're making yourself a priority. You're rebellious. You're like, I'm going to make it on my own. And you're absolutely killing it and crushing it and doing all these amazing things. And your ambition is like off the charts. And then coming here, it's almost like you have to transition that like self-motivation with your daughter, because you're like, whoa, I have to transition my whole mindset. Like, it's a huge mindset shift. Yeah. How did that impact you? What did you do in terms of, you know, you're up here, culinary school, acting, and then now like you have to, someone else is in your life that you have to make a priority.
Very good question, because at some point, like I really wanted. So backstory, like I really wanted, I came from a broken family. So it almost felt like I've always chased having my own family. So one of my dreams were to be an actress. I wanted to be, you know, successful in it. I never once said, I want to be famous. It was more like being in that industry because I love the craft. I love getting to portray different characters and different roles growing up. And I was like, oh, it didn't really feel like I was working. So in my teenage years, I was like, every day, it's like when people ask me, what do you do for a living? I cry for a living. Because it's like, if you know the Philippines, it's like all these telenovela, kind of like the Hispanic-Mexican culture. And I'm like, yeah, I do telenovelas. It's like, I cry for a living. But I think when I became a mom, you know, it was a dream come true for me because I've always wanted that. And I remember praying for it, like when I was young, I was like, when the time is right, I want to have a daughter. And it doesn't matter if it was a boy or a girl, but I prayed for that. I think at some point I just had to change. Obviously, in my early 20s, like I was very ambitious, selfish, you know, very like driven with like that hunger for myself. But when I moved here, even though I wanted to go back, I was like, no, I can't turn my back now because I made that decision to move my life away from my comfort zone to start my family. So that decision, and then I'm just going to have to push through with that. And then Anika, my daughter, it's like I always wanted to be that mom to her, like the parent that I never had. And it's not to like, my mom was an amazing person, you know, I'm not just to like talk badly about her. But I think during my healing process, I created this mother persona that I want my daughter to have. Because things that I never got to experience. Every day in my life, like thinking of that, that kind of like what's pushing me to stick to my decisions and to like just, all right, I'm doing this for her and I can't look back. You know, whatever has happened in the past has already happened. What can I do to make our future together better? I'm very driven to give her the best life.
That's so beautiful. And I feel like going off of that journey is, not only did you like kind of have to switch the perspective of, oh, hey, I'm starting to like have this other person or like child in my life to make a priority, but it seems like the way you sought out community through social media, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to post to create a following and like build a brand. You actually were just seeking community.
Yes.
And love and friendships, yes. Which is like a beautiful thing, because that just makes me feel like everyone a part of like your following and community actually like has been with you,
they know me.
Or they know you, or they like see you and they're like really a part of the community that you bring out. And Michelle's energy, like, it is contagious, mm-hmm. but you have such a way about you, like a light and a love that is like so warm. But I feel that through your social media too. So like, it makes sense how you've grown so quickly, just authentically, because of you weren't seeking out like a validation or growth. You were seeking out just like love and community.
Yes, I wasn't seeking for, you know, it wasn't about like the clout or anything for me. And to my point, it's like a lot of women go through that, especially moms. And for me, I found that community through social media, because I would even share like, oh, it's 3 a.m. and I'm pumping and I'm barely pumping any milk when I was breastfeeding my daughter. So things like that, like a lot of women was able to like resonate. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one. And that was just me. Pretty much I used my social media as like my diary, like the things that I could only share. Obviously, it's still like only 20% of your life. It's not the entirety of it, right? But through that, being vulnerable and transparent, I was able to like connect with more women. And it's just so beautiful, because up to this day, like, they've seen my journey. It's like people would go ask me, how did you do it? Like, your postpartum transformation. How did you do, like, when I went through, like, the separation and the divorce? Like, how are you so strong? It's like all these women are, like, coming to me for advice because, again, they see me as this inspiring lady, like, that I'm strong. But it's like, you know, I'm not always strong, but like there are ways and there are things that you can do to change your mind, to like kind of like push the needle after going through such things, right? Like adversity or just challenges in life. So it feels amazing that actually people come to me for advice. And sometimes I was like, why are you asking me? But then again, I was like, wait, well, because I shared and I'm also going through it. And would you even ask someone who has never gone through the same thing, right? Like, I wouldn't ask for advice, let's say for financial advice, from someone who's broke and don't know what they're doing with their life. You're obviously going to ask someone who has been through it and who's actually come out of it, right? So I'm just very grateful for the community and the followers that I have, because they're amazing and coming to me with, you know, all these questions, personal transparency and vulnerability. It takes a lot for someone to open up. And just the fact that they come to me, it just opens up my heart more. And it makes me want to like give more to people, because not a lot of that, like I felt that, like that's why I was also depressed after giving birth, like postpartum, like maybe for 6 months, like I didn't feel fully connected to my daughter, like the first 2 weeks. And a lot of moms go through that. A lot of moms don't talk about like the hardships. You only see these photos that would like perfect, like, oh, we're breastfeeding, this and that. Like at that time in 2017, when I gave birth, no one was really sharing like what was really happening behind the scenes. Like I was literally like, I wasn't producing enough milk. I had to like talk to my lactation consultant and then I would have to pump. Like even though my daughter was sleeping through the night, I had to like wake up every 2 to 3 hours and I'm just there like at 3 a.m. like I'm just gonna scroll and see what's happening, entertain myself while everybody else was sleeping in the house, and I'm here trying to pump so I could feed my daughter. It wasn't, I guess, the best avenue for me at the time, so I had to like give her some formula and just I had to like that mom guilt that I had. I was like, oh, I can't even like, I don't even know why I was so stressed out. I wasn't producing enough, and it was just like, okay, maybe I will just have to formulate and give her regular milk. I was fine growing up anyways. So things like that, like things that people can actually connect with you, like resonate with you. I just kind of opened that up and shared my journey. And that's how I was able to kind of like grow my socials.
It seems like your body was almost stressed because you like went through so much that maybe that's why you, like you said, you weren't able to produce milk as much. Like it sounded like your body, your mind, like
the first 2 years, I would say, was the hardest. I went through like 3 big life transitions: moving, having a family, being married, and then having a child, and then I lost my father. So in like the span of like 2 years, those 3 big life changes happened to me. Moving from, you know, my country, and all of a sudden, like, oh, I'm gonna start a new life with no friends and all that. And that's not like me playing the victim, but people go through that and you have to like honor that, right? So, and then, okay, now I'm going to be a mom and also a wife. That's a big responsibility. So also like I had to like put myself in the back burner, where in the last 13 years, I'm this workaholic mom, like, all right, let's go, right? And now I have to like cater to my daughter and my husband at the time. And then losing my father, like just a few months after giving birth. So my body, like just for like a year, just went through all these different changes. And I was depressed, you know, like, but I honestly, what really helped me, that's why I'm so like, I love fitness, like health and wellness, because that's what got me through it. I remember after my dad's passing, waking up at like, because, you know, we had a schedule. I was a full-time stay-at-home mom. I had to be back home by like 6:30 before her dad goes to work. Mm-hmm. I would wake up at 4:30 so I could be at the gym by 5. So I could have that 1 hour to myself. Mm-hmm. I remember like grieving, and you know, grief, it just comes and goes. I would lift weights and I would cry. And it's like, what are you doing? It's like, what's happening? I was like, I don't know. I'm going through postpartum and I'm also grieving my father. But I didn't use that as an excuse. And we all cope differently. And I get that and I respect that. But for me, I think I've always used like my pain and use it in the gym instead of just wallowing at home. Mm-hmm. I still have those moments.
Of course.
But I was, yeah. would always use my pain to kind of like strengthen me physically and mentally. I've just always channeled that.
Oh my God. Michelle, I don't think you understand how powerful that is to me, but how much I can relate to that too. Because I've had so many moments where the gym and like moving your body, it brings out a different feelings in you. Mm-hmm. And I've cried also in the gym and when moving my body, but it's like a more powerful feeling because you're actually able to like vent and get something out rather than just like you said, wallowing at home, where it's like, I'm moving my body, I'm becoming stronger as I'm also releasing something mentally. And that's why I'm honestly just so passionate about moving my body and practicing and preaching that to other people too, because it's like, sure, I'm not saying journaling and therapy, like all these things are amazing too, but there is something about moving your body and the dopamine and you releasing something mentally that is going to translate with that mind-body connection and just encompass that whole feeling of just letting something go and venting in your mind and your body. And it's so powerful. So I felt that. I really did.
Thank you. It is very powerful. And I always preach that to women and anybody. It's like when you're in a funk, go on a walk, go out in nature, dance, move your body. Because if you stay at home, that's when all this negative thoughts, you're already in a funk. Mm-hmm. I'm so lazy. I don't want to feel like doing anything. That's when all these negative thoughts is going to come to you and you're not going to feel good about it. Mm-hmm. And one way to fight that is to get outside, go to the gym and get out of that funk, you know, because you can't. And I've had moments, I'm not saying like I'm perfect. Like I have moments when I'm like, I'm just going to be in bed. I'll cry for like 30 minutes, maybe an hour. I don't know. I don't time myself whenever I have those moments, but I always give myself a deadline. Let's say I go through, obviously not with grief, let's say I go through a breakup. I'm going to allow myself to feel this. I'm going to allow myself to feel bad, to feel sad, whatever it may be, because it's my form of letting go of the situation and whatnot. But I'm going to give myself a deadline, like, okay, I'm going to feel like this. I'm going to be in my bed, on my couch, unproductive, whatever, for 2 days. I'm giving myself 2 days. And then on the third day, I promise myself, I'll put it in my alarm. I put it in my calendar. You get up, you go work out, back to your regular, you know, productive day, because you can't just stay in that, you know. And I know like with depression, some people cope differently, but you got to fight that. You got to fight through that.
I love that you give yourself time, because it's, I think this is really, really interesting between masculine and feminine energies. I think a lot of times, like in the masculine energy, a lot of men, they're like, don't cry. You're not allowed to feel. You know what I mean? And then women are like, cry, like release. And I love.
It's okay to cry.
It's okay to cry. And I
cry
love
every day.
Like, I mean. seriously. But I love like the balance that you mentioned is like, give yourself space to vent, to cry, to release, and then create a timeline and create a stop. Like, okay, I'm going to give myself this time. I'm not going to block it. I'm not going to pretend like it's not there. I'm going to like actually pay attention to it and then say, okay, let's get back to it.
Yeah. It's time to let it go.
It will come back, but yes, at least I've allowed myself in those 2 to 3 days to like feel it and then kind of collect yourself again.
Yeah.
And then like, we're back.
Even like recently, I feel like you went through that and I went through that too. I feel like we both kind of were like, it's so funny. Sometimes people will like become a little bit MIA, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Like sometimes you got to just focus on you. And it's really interesting because I feel like you've went through these like different sectors of your life of redefining yourself and your identity and like redefining and rediscovering your own inner freedom. Because it seems like, you know, between the Philippines and coming to America and having a kid and going through divorce and being a single mom and that entire journey. And then now, like, I feel like you're entering this new era of your life where you're like, who am I again? Tell me about that journey of you of redefining your identity and where are you now?
Oh my gosh, that is such a great question. And I feel like you mentioned all these other things. I was like, oh my gosh, I did. I went through a lot. Oh my gosh. You are so right. Like this new era, like, I don't know. I was telling a friend the other day, I was like, I've been, you know, obviously I've always had my faith, but I'm just walking with God more and more each day. I feel like that's the newer version of me. It's always been there. But I got sidetracked when I was younger, and I think now I'm back walking, you know, with the Lord, walk by faith. Definitely way stronger. I feel like now I've pretty much set my boundaries in terms of what do I want my life to look like, right? Obviously, there are things that you can't control. It's always, and I feel like in my younger years, like, oh, it's my plan. It's what I want. Now I fully surrender it to God. I truly believe that His plans are better than mine. Before, I would always control or get into relationships just because I wanted it to work. Mm-hmm. Right? I was like, well, I like this guy, I'm in love, but it's like, no, it's not for you. So you freaking like ignore like 20 red flags. I'm just kidding. Maybe 5. Right? But now it's like, no, it's like I have more clarity of where I want to be, of who I want to be and who I want to surround myself with. Obviously, we're going to constantly evolve. Like what I like from 6 months ago or a year ago is no longer the same. But getting to know yourself on a deeper level will give you those boundaries. And I want to show up as that phenomenal mother to Anika, because it's like telling your child to like be healthy and then they see you not exercise, right, not journal, or don't take care of yourself. Obviously, your kid is going to follow what they see, not what you say. And as her role model, I kind of want to show her like these steps, because she'll see, oh, mom is working. Oh, mom, she was separated from my dad, but she's still, you know, doing her own thing.
Right.
I see her. She sees me like wake up at 5:30 and she'll meditate with me sometimes. If I'm not in the room and she wakes up, she'll like go to my office and she'll sit or like lay on my lap and then while I meditate. So those little things, like when she sees me say or write my affirmations, she'll say her affirmations. So I want to be that good role model for her. So that way she won't have to heal from my unhealed traumas, you know, because, and I want to be that because I know what it's like to have that type of parenting style. So I kind of wanted to change that for her. In terms of dating, I don't know. TBD, I'm just kidding. I am not really looking.
It's about to get very different.
Yeah, it's not. I'm not, you know, like, I'm not looking. But obviously, the green flags are I want a partner. I want someone who is also God-fearing or who will also lead me and walk with God and have, you know, Christ as the center of our relationship. And high EQ. But yeah, someone who can actually have a conversation, be transparent and vulnerable. I think it's really important having someone, you know, like have that vulnerability, because it's a different form of bond as well. But yeah, I mean, that's her. That's the 35-year-old me, just doing the things that I love, traveling more, because I feel like now that my daughter is like 6 and I co-parent with her dad, I have more time to actually schedule my travels if I want to, or to do things that I want for myself whenever I don't have her in my possession. But yeah, just I feel like slowly finding myself again, get back into that rhythm and be that ambitious dope girl that I was once.
I feel like I still am. You always have been. It's so admirable. I look up to you so much in so many ways. Just so many times redefining yourself and actually put in the work. Like, you give yourself space to vent and to cry. But then, like you said, it's time to put in the work. You meditate. You do affirmations. You journal. You take time for yourself. You take time for you while also being an amazing role model to your daughter and even to yourself. And I think that's something that a lot of people feel is like, oh, I'm just gonna give up, or oh, this just happened to me, like I'm gonna feel sorry for myself. And you don't, I mean, maybe you have, and you have the right to feel sorry for yourself for sure at times, but like, it just sounds like your mindset never felt sorry for yourself. You continuously pivoted and you're like, all right, I'm gonna give myself time to mourn or to be, but now it's time to not feel sorry for myself and to to readapt.
Yeah Oh, I mean, gosh, it's so hard. I wasn't always this way,
yeah,
you know, so I don't want people to think like, oh my gosh, like she's just, you know, doing all the things. Yeah. No, it took some time. Like, I mean, even using Google Calendar, I was never structured before, because from my background, you tell me my call time and I'll show up and act. Give me 10 scripts and I'll memorize it. Obviously, working in an office or something, it's like, it was never me. So when I moved to America, I was like, what am I gonna do in my life? So through share, I was sharing about my postpartum journey, and then I got my certification. That's when I got like the online coaching, postpartum, prenatal, because I was sharing my exercises, because I was able to like bounce back within like 4 to 6 months. There's no timeline, but for me, I had a goal and I was able to make it happen. So everything I had to relearn, because this was, you know, like, again, like just by simply using my calendar, it's like, it was never a thing. Like, I had my manager, everything was pretty much catered to me back home. I had a driver, I had a personal assistant at such a young age. I had employees under me, you know, so my manager would just send me or my PA my call time, and then I just show up. My only job was to come prepared, study my script, and perform. So that is so like the complete opposite of like my life now, where at some point I was a full-time stay-at-home mom. I was a homemaker, so I was running, you know, like everything around the house, like, whereas in, like, school in the future, like food, groceries, all of that, which is also a different type of management. And then now being in like working mama, like in real estate, apartment locating, so a lot of this is like time management, right? And then you see me post a lot of, you know, like workout videos, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're so consistent. And I was like, yes, because when I don't train, I don't feel good. I can't perform well if I don't work out. So it's not just, it's a part of my lifestyle, but also it's not just a, oh, I'll work out twice this week. It's literally on my calendar. Like, I'm gonna work out. But if I don't need rest days, I would probably work out 7 times a week.
Same.
But even on rest days, I still, like, okay, active rest day, aka I'll do yoga, I'll go on a walk. But that's like me putting a, you know, tiny break into like my actual heavy workout sessions. But you have to be structured. I was never, you know, like structured. Like, I had to relearn all these things. I had to like teach myself. And even when things happen, when it doesn't go my way, I just have to like believe that, okay, it's not happening for me. Maybe God is redirecting me elsewhere. Maybe this happened because I needed to learn a lesson from that scenario or whatever, from that situation. Really, at the end of the day, it's really changing your perspective on things. I wasn't always this way. Trust me, it took a lot of work. And every day, this is why I journal every day. This is why I meditate. And I don't even meditate for a long time. People think that when you meditate, it has to be like a full hour of just silence. I haven't done that. I do a lot of like the guided meditations just to kind of prime my mind. I don't check my phone right away when I wake up. I give myself 30 minutes to like an hour to prime myself for the day. When I wake up first thing in the morning, this is how I kind of like reframe my way of thinking, my brain, because like before, as soon as I wake up, I would check the phone and pretty much allowing everyone else in your, like, your sphere, right? I was like, oh my gosh, as soon as you wake up, if you didn't sleep good that day, you're emotional, like maybe you're on your period, like your hormones are all over the place, and the first thing you see is like a hot bodied girl on Instagram.
Your whole day is gonna mind.
I'm so insecure today.
Yeah.
So this is, and those are the things, it happens. Like when I was younger, I would just go straight, turn, get my phone and scroll, whatever. Allow other people in my, you know, in my mornings when it's supposed to be my time, my prime time for myself before I can take care of others. And it only really started for me, I realized that when I became a mother, because I was telling her dad, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just, you know, overwhelmed. And then it's like, we need to find a schedule for you. First, I think losing my dad, waking up at 4:30 to be at the gym by 5, that was the beginning of it. Okay, I'm going to go to gym because I have to be back home by 6:30. Mm. So that was my time for myself. And then obviously now Anika is older, so now I'm more structured, like the morning drop-offs, whatever. I have to prime myself before she wakes up because I can't cater to others if I don't cater to myself first. And it's so important. This is why I always post my morning routines and share this to my social media and my community, because it is a game changer once you actually start. It doesn't have to be a full hour. That's just me, because I don't know, I'm extra. That's what I need. For some people, you only need probably 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And if it's the only time you have, do it.
Michelle, I'm like...
Woo! What do you think in you instills hope for you to have that mindset every day?
I sometimes ask that question too. Whenever I'm like having, you know, the roughest, like tough day of my life. But I don't know how I built like grit, to be honest. Like I've just growing up, I feel like I've gone through so much that I've just channeled my pain into like doing things and turn it into positives. Like, well, I'm open to it, but like, yeah, like my start from my childhood, from my background, and then to all these things that happened to me, like divorce and whatnot, I've just always had that positivity in me, you know. I've just always, and this was even before I would journal, I felt like I would always just pray to God whenever I'm going through something. And I think that's how my relationship with him really started. Whenever I would go through something, and it sounds so weird because like, oh, you only come to God when you need something. It started off as like that. And then whenever I get projects, I would be, thank you, God, yada, yada. I'm like, I'm so grateful. But then I feel like lately my connection has gotten deeper with him. And I know for a fact that he listens to all my prayers. And there's just that is unexplainable. Like, I just know that something good is going to happen regardless. I can't allow that negativity in my head. I do have that those days, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, I would have those. It's like, oh, why isn't this happening for me? Oh, I wanted that project. I was so close. Let's just say recently, like, I auditioned for this big fitness brand, and it was between me and another person. Like literally down to 2 person, and it was going to be a global campaign, and they didn't get me. I could have easily just like, oh my gosh, like bitch about it, and like, oh my gosh, it sucks, I'm going to give up. No, it also gave me hope to like, I need to do more. I need to like, maybe it wasn't for me, you know. It's easier for me to let go of these things now because I know that there is something better for me. But you have to believe that. You can't just say that. And it took a lot of all these like personal development, like healing, all that before I even got here. And also putting myself out there in like those hard, you know, challenges, and like putting myself in this, like doing hard things to kind of have that belief.
Well, I can feel your light. Like, I really, really can. Like, I can feel your light. I can feel how it impacts others. I can feel how it impacts yourself, and it rubs off on other people, and it's so powerful. And I can't thank you enough for like the light that you share with the world, because I do think it's reciprocal and it comes back at you. Thank you. No, I really mean that, Michelle. And I also want to touch upon your postpartum secret tips of physically looking good, but I feel like we just talked about all the mental side of things. And I truly believe that you wouldn't have been able to shed the weight or look as good as you do without the work that you've done on yourself mentally and how that has translated physically. So tell me about how, you know, people are like, oh my God, she just had a baby. How does she look like that? And you're like,
Girl, I have done the work, and I don't mean just going to the gym. Like, there is a lot more to it. So tell me, like, some of those tips. They could be mental, physical, or both.
It was definitely both for me. Yeah. I mean, the number one thing is commitment. Mm. And deciding, like, you have, once you commit yourself to, and this goes with anything, right? Once you decide and tell yourself, okay, I'm going to, that's why you have to have that timeline for yourself. Mm-hmm. Give yourself a timeline. Let's say in 90 days or in 4 months, I want to weigh this much, or I want to look a certain way. I want to lose maybe like 5% body fat, whatever it may be. You have to write it down because you have to see it every single day. Like for me, it's what are my goals? So at the time when I gave birth, I was 150 pounds, like the heaviest I've ever been, because I would always, like growing up, I was just 110 to 115 pounds. So 150 was like, oh my gosh, this is my biggest. So I made a goal to like, I want to be 120 in like 90 days. I want to look good again. And I didn't even say like pre-baby weight. I just wanted to weigh like 120 and look good and feel good about myself again. And then now you have a target, then how are you going to move forward and do that? What's the plan, right? You have to first set a goal and then put a plan, because you can't just, oh, I want to lose 30 pounds. How? Mm. What's the how? Then now you have to like go back to the drawing board and write down like, how are you going to hire a trainer if you can? Obviously for me, it was easier. So I would go to classes because I needed to push myself. So I would like go 3 times a week, and then I would have 1 PT session per week. So like personal trainer, because I knew I needed someone to like push me. Obviously, if it's not in your like financial at that point, then you can, there are a lot of like free workouts, but you have to commit to it. And then accountability is so important. Either ask your spouse, ask a friend, or this is why hiring a coach is very beneficial for people who are trying to reach a certain goal, because your coach will definitely guide you through that process. Mm. It's so important, and it's not just, all right, checking in, whatever, but I feel like it's easier to kind of lie to ourselves when we say, oh, we're going to do this, and then, oh, I'm not going to do it, whatever, no one's checking in anyways. But if you actually hire a coach, you're almost like, oh my gosh, I don't want to get yelled at, you know? So it kind of like keeps you on your toes. Mm-hmm. So accountability is really important. Mm. And then just taking it one day at a time. It's so important, like having patience, because at some point it almost felt like on the 4th or maybe like the 6th week, I wasn't losing weight. Mm. And I was like, I could have given up at that point. But I was like, no, it's small progress. We're making small progress right now. You just have to like constantly, repeatedly do it. Mm. And I just had that hunger to like, no, I'm going to prove myself. I'm going to prove myself again. Mm. So it kind of motivated me to like keep going.
It's so funny because you didn't mention anything of like, okay, this plan of like specifically working out. You mentioned all these like habitual training tactics to get you
your
there.
Habits are what's going to get you to the end goal.
Calendar, accountability, you said grit, your inner drive, like all these things are the foundations for you to meet your goal.
Yes.
And you also said, I saw this on your Instagram, you said you can, I was stalking you, you said you can recreate yourself, you can be anything you want, you are not stuck, there's always room for growth with you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, because that is so true. And I just feel like that really ties in everything today. And that leads me to asking you my last and final question. At Fit Food Junkies, our motto is addicted to health. Yes. So Michelle, what are you addicted to?
Well, I'm addicted to learning, mindset, and fitness. I feel like it shows, you know, I'm addicted to becoming the best version of myself. Mm. And I think that's what drives me. I'm addicted to becoming the best version of myself for myself and for my daughter. I feel like that's, you know, like the pursuit of being, you know, 1% better each day.
Mm. It seems like that's kind of your why.
Yes, it's, I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know if I'm competing with someone subconsciously, but honestly, that's always been my mantra. It's like 1% better every day. I want to, how can I, and I always ask this, I brain dump like before I go to bed. I read a book and then I brain dump, and how can I make tomorrow better? I always ask that question to myself. If it's not, you don't have to ask yourself that every day, but you can always ask that once a week. How can I make, you know, myself better each week? You know, and that's how you can kind of into your like habits, right? Like new habits, like, okay, this week I suck at this. How can I make that better? It's really about like just improving yourself. And that's how I was able to kind of like have this big shift in my mindset towards my mindset. It's, you know, before I would always play this. I had the victim mindset growing up, especially in my early 20s. But yeah, that is really like my mantra is to like become the best version of yourself every single day.
I don't even know what to say. Like you've touched me in so many ways. And I feel like even though I know you so much as a person, hearing you even just talk today, I'm like, whoa. No, seriously, I'm just so proud of you. And my wish is that you realize how amazing you are and how much you've done in this life and how proud I am of you and how much, like really how much you've impacted me and so many people in your life. How can people connect with you?
Instagram, Mitch_Madrigal. I'm on YouTube. I think it's the same handle. TikTok, Mitch_Madrigal. And yeah, if you guys have any questions regarding like apartment locating, residentials, I'm also a realtor here. I do luxury apartment locating here in Austin. So if you guys have any questions, want to know about the specials, whatever it may be, message me in the DMs and we will connect.
Michelle, thank you so much for sharing and opening up and being so vulnerable today, because I think a lot of times people feel like they're on their own and they feel a lot of the things that you said out loud today that they would never say out loud but think every day. So thank you for creating that safe space for everyone to be a part of today.
Well, thank you for creating that safe space for me, but I'm so happy and honored, you know, that you invited me today.
Thank you, baby. You're the best.
Thank you guys so much for listening today. Connect with Michelle at Mitch_Madrigal and me at Fit Food Junkies. Let us know what you took away from this episode today. Also, please subscribe, follow us, Fit Food Junkies podcast. It would mean the absolute world to us. Also, I mentioned Magic Mind in the show. If you are a squirrel like me and want to try the world's first productivity shot, you can use my discount code. That's FitFood20, all caps, FitFood20, to activate your discount. I am so excited that you are joining the Fit Food Junkies journey with me.